Firstly, I'd like to hone in the concept of true self, as discussed in the article that you've written. Now, my kind of take on it was that it is the personality at the core of your being, which is not necessarily sort of the personality that you're projecting to the world on an everyday basis. Would you kind of, is that kind of aligned with the thoughts that you had?
Absolutely. Look, I think you captured it really well. The idea is whether or not we actually do have such a true self. Most of us believe we do. And that belief is about those aspects of ourselves which are most deep-seated, most enduring, you know, most defining of who we are, which, as you say, might not correspond to how we tend to behave.
I thought the concept deep-seated was quite interesting. And actually, reading about your article, it reminded me of a T.S. Eliot line from Prufrock that was, there will be time to prepare a face to meet the faces that you meet. So if the true self exists and everyone has this inherent core being, does that mean that everyone is kind of wearing a mask in their everyday lives?
I think it's a very deep question, probably a bit deep for me as a mere psychologist. I'd leave that to philosophers.
Okay.
Look, I think that's a very popular metaphor. A lot of people think that they are just presenting a mask to the world and that their true self lies behind it. And not everyone agrees. I think I'm quite skeptical of the idea that there really is this true self, this essence inside each of us. I think we're always making up ourselves as we go along. But it's a very popular idea that we're somehow projecting some possibly illusory sense of ourselves to the world, which doesn't correspond to who we really are. And therefore, we go on trips and things to try to discover ourselves, find out who we are, really are. We have this view that there's something authentic, deep-seated within us that we have to discover.
The idea of making it up as we go along leads really nicely to what I was about to ask, because I'm interested in the concept of time. So do you think that there are properties of someone's true self, if it exists, that are kind of, is it the same at age 4 and 40 and 70, or is it something you think which kind of flourishes and changes over time?
Well, again, I think the issue of whether it really exists is separate from the issue of whether people think it exists. And I think people tend to see the true self as something which is what they share now with what they used to have in the past and what they will have in the future. The only slight twist to that is that people tend to think that they're always getting better over time and approaching their true self. So I think, you know, whether there really is any kind of enduring sense of personal identity from age 4 to 40 and beyond is a hard one. There certainly are some consistencies in people's personalities over time. But, you know, whether there's any sort of real deep truth to that isn't obvious. People certainly believe that their true self is a good self and that, therefore, if they show improvement in their lives, they are getting closer to revealing their true self. On the other hand, once you get to my advanced years, you start to think that maybe your truest self was back when you were a bit younger and enjoying yourself a little bit more, and that as you get older, maybe you're alienating from it. But I think that's the minority view.
Well, you mentioned it there. You also hit on it in the article that the true self is a good self. Do you think that people, they kind of all think that this is the case, or are there a lot of factors like maybe cultural background or your upbringing which kind of influence the way that people think about their core personality?
Yeah, look, I think there are differences. Certainly not everyone thinks that their core self is a good self. And if you meet someone who's truly depressed, they tend to think that their true self is a worthless self. But nevertheless, the great majority of people do tend to think that their true self is good. And there's lots of evidence of that. It's not just me pontificating. There's lots of studies which show that people tend to identify the truest parts of themselves, their authentic true self, as being morally good and also good in sort of non-moral ways. And yes, that will perhaps vary according to your upbringing. I mean, some people are more intrinsically self-critical than others, but it's still a generalization that holds, and it even holds across cultures. So although you might anticipate that people from different cultural backgrounds might have different ideas about what the true self involves, in fact, there's some evidence that it really those differences are fairly slight. So one study that was done quite recently compared people for Americans from a very, you know, if you like, individualistic even narcissism-promoting culture, arguably, with people from Colombia, people from Singapore, people from Russia, who are famously meant to be a very sort of gloomy, morose people. And their views about what their true selves were like were equally positive in all of those four different places. So although there are no doubt going to be some cultural differences, they may be not as big as we might think.
That's a really interesting concept. And also the idea that, so you've mentioned that maybe it's kind of less influenced by cultural identity, but I guess another thing which can make it malleable is diseases, like you mentioned in the idea of having Alzheimer's. So has there been research into how these kind of degenerative diseases can influence that concept of your core personality or your true self?
Yeah, look, there isn't research on whether people with different degenerative diseases actually do or don't lose their true selves. What there is research on is whether carers of them or loved ones think they've lost their true self. And so this terrific study was done a couple of years ago where they looked at the perceptions that caregivers had of family members who'd either had Alzheimer's disease where they'd lost largely their memory, or this condition called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis where they mostly lost the capacity for voluntary movement, or this terrifically interesting condition called frontotemporal dementia where people seem to lose their moral compass and lose their sort of social intelligence. And it was only that last group that caregivers felt had lost their true selves. It was when their family members started appearing to become callous, unempathic, immoral or amoral, that was when the caregivers thought, she's no longer herself, she's no longer who she used to be. If you lose your memory, if you lose your capacity for voluntary movement, you're still who you always were, you're still your true self. But if you lose your sort of moral bearing and you lose your moral emotions, then you're a different person in the eyes of the caregiver.
It's obviously a very difficult concept to, I mean, we can't really quantify what is the true self, but I guess there is conjecture about its existence. Do you think that the idea of us accepting that we do have an inherent true self is beneficial to us or society at large?
Yeah, I think it's probably a beneficial illusion. I think it is an illusion. I think there is no, personally, no real true self. We're always making it up. We're always constructing a sense of who we are. But probably to the extent that people believe that they and others all share some basic internal goodness, that's probably good for social trust. That's probably good for believing in your fellow human beings. That's probably good for overall just believing that life is worth living.
Well, Nick, that's probably about as deep as we can delve on Thursday Drive. My head's starting to hurt a little bit. So at this point, I'll say thank you very much for coming on and having a chat with me.
You're very welcome.